warm welcome along to The Assist, sponsored by Free Super Tips. I'm Warren Ashurst, and alongside me this week are Mark Langdon and James Milton for another Champions League special. We'll preview the matches shortly, but the first three English teams are leading the way, so it's probably a good idea to look at the betting who will progress from the league phase. Aston Villa, of course, leading the table in the new format after three games, 9-1 to win the league stage as it is, with Liverpool second at 5-2, Manchester City 11-4 at the moment. In terms of finishing in the top eight, Villa 8-15, Liverpool 7-1 on, and it's 8-1 on Manchester City. Mark, we'll start with you. How do you think it's starting to shape up in terms of the league table?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting at the moment, Warren. Our team's bothered about finishing first. I think that's the going to be one of the most interesting aspects of this league phase as it progresses, because it's the first season for it. Nobody's quite sure how many points you need to qualify in the top eight. Nobody's quite sure whether there's a huge advantage to finishing sort of way up the table. My general feeling is that teams should be bothered, because you will be seeded in the knockout stage depending on where you finish in the league bit of it. And I always have the opinion that you give yourself the best opportunity by doing as well as you can. I could never understand why teams weren't bothered about finishing first, like, for instance, in the old format, And, of course, you can finish high up the league phase and still get a difficult draw, but it's all about giving yourself the maximum opportunity, if you like. And your best option is to finish as high up the table as you can. But I do wonder just how hectic the Premier League is. And we know, watch it week in, week out, just how physical it is, how even as kind of what looks to be a winnable away game on paper, Man City at Bournemouth at the weekend being the latest example. Yeah, it just is difficult, isn't it? And Liverpool and Arsenal are still in the League Cup as well. The FA Cup will be kicking off in early January, while most other teams are resting up over Christmas. The Premier League goes full tilt. So I actually think that the Premier League teams might be vulnerable, despite the excellent start that they've all made. You mentioned the three there, and Arsenal were in a nice position as well, got 7 points, haven't they? So English teams have started well. I think there might be trouble ahead.
I think that one of the big surprises for me, Milts, when you look at the league format at the moment, is that there's only two teams with 100% record so far.
That's it. And I think that's why, just finishing in that top eight has to be the priority. I don't think teams at this stage can get too clever about, where they want to finish in that top eight. Looking at the table after three games, PSG 19th, Bayern 23rd, Atletico 27th. And I think we've already seen that there is real depth to the competition. Barcelona and Real Madrid have already suffered shock defeats. So I certainly wouldn't be rushing to back Liverpool at 5-2 to top the table. They've got Bayer Leverkusen and Real Madrid in their next two games. Things could look very different for them after those games. And as Mark said, the big domestic fixtures are coming thick and fast for them as well. Just looking at the betting, one team I thought might be of interest each way, three places available, were Inter at 14-1. They're yet to concede a goal. Obviously, started out with that 0-0 draw away to Manchester City. This week, probably playing Arsenal at a decent time at home. Mm-hmm. Then they've got a home game against RB Leipzig, who lost their first three matches. Leverkusen away will be tough, but they finish up with Sparta Prague and Monaco. And you just think, they're such a solid side. I think they could be the each-way value in this one. As I think Mark makes a great point about the English teams looking plenty short at the head of the betting.
And on that note, Mark, I think you're interested in somebody who's actually even lower on the table at the moment than Inter Milan.
Yeah, well, Barcelona, around about 9-1 to finish top of the league phase. How interesting. The groups used to be over by now, and then we've got this wide open betting heat to finish the top dog. Barcelona 9-1. Next couple of games, Red Star Belgrade and Brest. So I think there's good opportunities there to get maximum points, another six on the board. Away to Dortmund, that's a difficult game. Benfica, I'd expect them to win that one and finish at home to Atalanta, another tough game. But I think if they can get sort of 6 points from the next two games, then that kind of the table starts to look a lot better for them. If you look at Barcelona, the game they lost was against Monaco when they had a player sent off really early on in that game. But this is a side that's absolutely battered Real Madrid. They're thrashed Bayern Munich. And there's two of the teams that are kind of, riding high in terms of the outright market. So Barca are definitely heading in the right direction. They won easily at the weekend. Dani Olmo just come back from injury, got a couple of goals. And I think that's the key thing for Barca. Olmo, Frenkie de Jong, Gavi, all been injured. So they've got a lot of quality to come back over the next couple of months. So, yeah, I like the look of Barcelona to push the English clubs close in terms of the league phase.
Or, of course, reach game week 4 of this new league phase of the Champions League, and some big games facing the British clubs in action this week. We'll start off with Tuesday's action, and at 8 o'clock, Liverpool take on Bayer Leverkusen at Anfield. It will see Xavi Alonso returning to his former club, and Liverpool 7-10 to pick up the victory in this. The draw 16-5, and it's 100-30 Bayer Leverkusen, who was so impressive, Mark, last season. It's kind of, not unexpected to see there's a little bit of a drop-off from them this time around.
Yeah, I think so, Warren. I mean, it would have been very difficult for them to have matched last season's invincible domestic double and reaching a European final. Last season, they scored a lot of late goals. This season, actually, they've dropped quite a few points late on in matches. But since the start of last season, they've only lost two games in all competitions, which is a sort of stunning record. And this term, they've drawn away at Bayern. They've actually got Bayern in the German Cup as well. So the draw hasn't been kind to them. But they're a difficult team to put away. Xabi Alonso, an emotional return for him to Anfield. I'm going to go for Leverkusen or draw, double chance. I think Liverpool might just have their eye on a very big game they've got at the weekend against Aston Villa. You've mentioned earlier about the flying start they've made in the Champions League. They're not desperate for the 3 points here. And I think Leverkusen might just be able to get something from Anfield. But it's always with a heavy heart take on Liverpool at home in Europe, because they generally are so good.
And Milts, equally, as you say, Liverpool started strongly, but we've mentioned that fixture list already. And as Mark says, Villa to come at the weekend. Might they take their eye off the ball here?
I think playing Leverkusen is a real challenge. No matter what the circumstances, but yeah, I think the draw is quite a tempting price here. Liverpool's last five wins all by a one goal margin, obviously included the weekend victory against Brighton, who dominated the game for large parts at Anfield. And I think Leverkusen are capable of picking up a point here. Liverpool, last home game in Europe, they beat Bologna 2-0, but, gave up plenty of chances. And Leverkusen, as Mark's mentioned, they've kind of been hampered by lots of draws in the Bundesliga. Four of their last five have finished all square. And a couple of their wins as well were sealed by kind of characteristic injury time goals. So, they've been involved in a lot of tight games, and so have Liverpool. So I think the draw, bigger than 3-1 is an appealing bet.
Well, up next on the agenda, Sporting against Manchester City, another 8 o'clock kickoff. This is going to be fascinating, Milts, because not only are the blue half of Manchester going to be watching this, the red half of Manchester will also have a keen eye on what goes on regarding Ruben Amorim and his style of play.
Absolutely. That's a very kind of strange circumstances, this one. Had to be Manchester City who he faced in one of his final games with Sporting. I think it's a bit of a trappy one. I think City probably are short enough given their injury problems. Obviously in the last week they had a couple of away defeats at Tottenham in the League Cup, and then at Bournemouth, of course. So I think City at around sort of 4-5. You wouldn't be desperate to back them or oppose them really there. I'm thinking outside the box with this one, or probably literally, but Mateo Kovacic to score at any time. Yeah, he's got real license to get forward. He's had 17 shots in his last six Premier League appearances. scored on the opening weekend against Chelsea, got a brace against Fulham, and around 7-1, I think he's quite an eye-catching price. But it's going to be a fascinating game, as you say.
As Milt said, City 4-5, Sporting 100-30, and it's 14-5 the draw. I mean, we knew that Rodri being out, Mark, was going to have an impact on City. Are you surprised by just how big the drop-off has been?
I am, actually, yeah, because if you know they were beaten at Bournemouth, and Pep Guardiola said you know they couldn't match the intensity of the Cherries. I saw them up close when they lost in the League Cup at Tottenham, and I think the concerning thing for Guardiola in that game will have been that he still picked a team to win. I know that he didn't start Haaland or bring him on, but there was enough players there to make a big impact. And someone like Phil Foden, for instance, just didn't. And you need, given how many players they've got out injured, like they could really do with sort of Phil Foden catching fire, which he just hasn't done so far this season. I think they have got a lot of injuries, even when they've won games, though. They weren't that impressive against Wolves, were they? They weren't impressive against Fulham. I think they're slightly fortunate to have as many points as they've got. And I think this is a tough game against Sporting. I'm going for a different goal scorer option, probably somebody that's more obvious, but Gyökeres of Sporting. He's 11-2 to score the first goal. I think that's a nice each way play. He's got 18 goals in 13 league and European games this season. He's only failed to score twice. Absolute goal machine. And City have conceded in 5 of their 7 away games this season. So, match prices look about right. But, yeah, Gyökeres is an absolute monster talent.
I think the biggest surprise of game week 3 for me was the fact that it was goalless between Atalanta and Celtic in their clash, because that looked to have goals written all over it. But Celtic picked up a really useful point, and they'll now take on RB Leipzig on Tuesday evening. Celtic 9-4 to claim the victory here. It's 23-20 RB Leipzig, and the draw is 13-5. I just wonder whether this potential three-way title race in Scotland this season, now that Aberdeen have improved, Mark, might help Celtic in Europe.
I don't know about that. I mean, they absolutely tonked Aberdeen at the weekend, just showing them who's boss. And Rangers, I'm not sure they're up to giving Celtic much of a challenge this season. Now, I think it was a great point away to Atalanta for Celtic, but they actually gave up 2.4 on expected goals. So they had to ride their luck in that game as well. I'm going to go for a Leipzig win. They did lose 2-1 against Dortmund, first league defeat of the season for them. And they've got no points in the Champions League. The pressure's on. It's been a really tough start. Atletico Madrid, Juventus and Liverpool. I know Celtic at Parkhead is a difficult game, but I still think this is sort of a significant step up from what Celtic are used to. So, yeah, Leipzig to win.
Mills, do you think Leipzig have got what it takes to pick up a much-needed victory here?
I think they probably have. As Mark said, Celtic's 0-0 in Atalanta was a real bonus result for them. I think they conceded 22 shots and obviously lost 7-1 at Dortmund in their previous outing. So I think Leipzig should have enough. I like the look of Benjamin Sesko to score first in this. He's actually scored first in both of Leipzig's defeats against Atletico and Juventus. As well as both of Slovakia's Nations League fixtures in September. So I think he's obviously a real class act up front for them. And Celtic's defence, I think, is going to have a tough time keeping him quiet.
Let's move on to Wednesday now. And it's pretty infrequent that we see one of the Premier League teams in an early kickoff at 5:45. But Aston Villa are in Belgium to face Club Brugge. And I can tell you the home team are 12-5 to pick up the victory. It's 11-10 Villa and 5-2 the draw. Fresh off that 4-1 thumping at the hands of Tottenham at the weekend, James, how are Villa going to respond?
Yeah, I mean, I think the fact that they've started the Champions League so brilliantly, you know, wins 2-0 against Young Boys, obviously Bayern Munich, that fantastic night at Villa Park, and Bologna. I think that gives them license to go for it. You know, another win here would set them up really nicely for a kind of top eight finish. So I think they'll play with a bit of freedom. You know, don't always associate Unai Emery's sides with that. But over 2.5 goals looks a good bet Yeah, I think it's copped in all seven of Villa's away games, actually. And, you know, obviously we saw their defensive vulnerability at Tottenham at the weekend, leading 1-0 up to the hour mark and then losing 4-1. And Club Brugge have shown a bit in their defeats to Dortmund and Milan. I think they had 10 shots on target in both of those games, hit the woodwork as well in each of those games. So I think they're capable of contributing to a lively encounter.
I don't know if it's just me, Mark, but I'm always quite wary of the early kickoffs. Do you have to take that into account when you're looking at your Champions League coupon?
I wouldn't. No, I don't think so. I don't think it impacts results. I think it will impact. Probably a good thing for those Villa fans, because the lager's strong, isn't it, in Belgium? And, you know, a 6:45 local time, 5:45 our time, is probably better than a 9 o'clock kickoff as far as those Villa fans are concerned. And I'm sure there'll be a lot making the short trip to Bruges. I mean, I was at Spurs Villa on Sunday. I was disappointed with Villa, actually. Even in the first half, I felt they were quite negative in their approach. Then once they got in front, you know, they again just tried to sit on their lead rather than actually push on and, you know, try to take advantage of all those Tottenham players that were missing at the back, and basically got what they deserved in the end. I mean, I think 4-1 was harsh, but I think they deserve to lose the game. I'm going to go for both teams to score in this match. Villa are still good on the counter attack. We know they've got a lot of forward options, and, you know, Duran or Watkins can lead the line. Club Brugge, Milt sort of alluded to it earlier on, but the Bruges' three games so far have had 26 shots on target. So, you know, they are wide open as well. I saw their game against Milan recently, and I was quite impressed with them when they went down to 10 men. So I think this will be an entertaining affair, more entertaining than the game we're just about to talk about next.
Well, I was about to say and build it up and say it was possibly the biggest game of the week in terms of the British sides in Europe, but Inter Milan against Arsenal at the San Siro, 8-5 Inter for the victory, 19-10 Arsenal, and a draw 21-10. Do we think that it's almost like a primary school kid riding a bike and having a bit of a wobble at the moment, Mark, or are the wheels completely falling off at Arsenal?
Well, see, the Arteta needs to get the stabilisers. I think it's just a wobble. I don't like the way that they sort of moan about injuries. I just think every team gets injuries. You have to deal with it. Odegaard's absence is really impacting Arsenal from an attacking point of view. But defensively, the team they've been picking, most weeks, I think, should be good enough to get results. And it hasn't been in terms of wins, you know. So they are in a sticky spot. I think they are too negative at the moment. I'd be interested to get Milt, as an Arsenal fan, his thoughts on that, or whether that's just my sort of blinkered view watching Postecoglou's Tottenham every week and everybody feels like they play like George Graham on the back of that. But I'm going for a draw in this game at San Siro. I don't think it's a bad result for either side, the way that the league's planning out at the moment for both. Inter already had that draw against Man City, so they we know that they're good defensively. Arsenal scored 5 goals in 6 away matches, and outside of set pieces, just don't think they're doing enough. So I think it'll be a low-scoring game, this one, and that's why I'm heading towards a draw.
I think all the neutrals, Milts, will probably agree with the majority of what Mark said about how the team has differed from, say, last season to this season from an attacking point of view. Is that something that's just shared by most of the Arsenal fans?
I think there is frustration. You know, Odegaard is such a significant player, and you know, impossible to replicate what he brings to the side, both in terms of the kind of pressing and the creativity and the on-field leadership, which you probably say has been lacking a little bit while he's been out. So I think it's understandable. You know, last season Arsenal didn't look particularly fluent in attack until that miraculous January trip to Dubai, and then they started firing in goals from all over the pitch. It's not crisis time, but yeah, like Mark says, I think this is going to be another tight game. I don't expect Arsenal to cut loose against an Inter side who, like Arsenal, haven't conceded a goal in the competition so far. So I like the look of one or both teams not to score. That's actually been a winning bet in 8 of Arsenal's last 10 Champions League games this season and last season. And one of the exceptions was a dead rubber against PSV last season when Eddie Nketiah scored the goal for Arsenal. Inter had a 4-4 draw with Juventus last month, but I can't quite see that correct score landing again. So, yeah, a tight game. And, you know, as Mark said, I think a draw would probably suit both sides. You know, Inter's, I think, three of the last four wins have been by a 1-0 margin. Yeah, I'm fairly negative about the prospects of goals in this one.
Okay, well, just to confirm, it's a Wednesday 8:00 kickoff for Inter Milan against Arsenal. Up next, it's our match in focus. Well, this week's match in focus sees two European heavyweights go head-to-head at the Bernabeu. Tuesday at 8 p.m, it's Real Madrid against AC Milan. Carlo Ancelotti, of course, against his former club. In terms of the prices, Real are 4-9, Milan as big as 6-1, and the draw is 15-4. I just wonder how much that hammering at the hands of Barcelona in El Clasico, Mark, might have an impact on Real Madrid in this competition as well.
Yeah, I mean, it was an absolutely shocking result. First half, they played well in Clasico. Just Mbappe kept on getting caught offside. I mean, he scored what looked like a good goal, but he was offside, and maybe that changes the whole game just before half time. Second half, though, Barcelona ran Real Madrid ragged. They haven't sort of had to respond yet because their game against Valencia was unsurprisingly called off at the weekend due to the horrific flooding in that sort of southern Spain at the moment. So Real Madrid come into this game sort of fresh. I think they come into it probably hurting after what was a humiliating defeat. I'm actually going to the game, so that's why I'm trying to rush us up here, because I've got a flight to catch at Stansted to go and watch this. So really excited to see, as you say, two European heavyweights going head-to-head in the game. I think that Real Madrid are unbalanced at the moment, trying to fit Mbappe into the team. But I just look at their team and I look at Milan's team, and Reinders, I like him in the Milan midfield, but outside of that, not sure that they kind of got the quality Milan that is, I suppose, what you expect of a team that's called AC Milan. And so while on paper it looks like these two real heavyweights going head to head, 95% of the stars are going to be in the white of Real Madrid in this game. So interested to see how Milan kind of stem the tide against what Real Madrid have got going forward. From Real Madrid's point of view, just can they get the balance right? And Carlo Ancelotti, a big game for him because of that humiliating defeat against Barcelona. And of course, he is synonymous with Milan as well himself. So a big night for Carlito.
What kind of game do you think Mark can expect to see, Milt, on Tuesday?
Yeah, I think it should be a good game, given the way Milan have been defending in the Champions League this season. They're wide open in that opening 3-1 home defeat to Liverpool. I think we mentioned earlier that Club Brugge, despite having a man sent off just before half-time, caused them problems as well last time out. So I think over 3.5 goals looks a solid bet. It'd be fascinating to see how Real respond to that El Clasico result. That's so strong defensively last season, particularly in La Liga. Kept one clean sheet in their last 9 games. Now 5 of those have had over 3.5 goals. Obviously had that magnificent comeback against Borussia Dortmund in the Champions League when they were 2-0 down and won 5-2. So I think it should be an entertaining game. Neutrals obviously cheering on Real after the dignified way in which they handled the Vinicius Junior Ballon d'Or snub. We're all behind Real, and over 3.5 goals at odds against looks a good bet to me.
Just been looking at the stats, Mark. Real Madrid have had 8 shots on target generally across their Champions League games so far that they've had in this new format. Are you expecting goals?
I'm expecting Real Madrid to score most of them. Yeah, I'm going for Real Madrid minus one on the Asian handicap. They've got a very good record against Italian teams. I don't know if that means anything, but they've won 7 of the last 8 at home, and they've scored 3 or more goals in 4 of the last 5. And yeah, I know Milan got back to winning ways at the weekend to ease the pressure on Paolo Fonseca. But before that, beaten 2-0 at home by Napoli. I think that sort of shows where they are in the standing. You know, they were beaten by Leverkusen and have been beaten by Liverpool. And I think this will be a step too far for them.
Okay, well, the big game, just to remind you, Tuesday at the Bernabeu, an 8 o'clock kickoff for Real Madrid against AC Milan. Time now for our best bets of the week, and we'll start off with the assist treble. Mark, we'll start off with your selection first.
Yeah, Real Madrid. They've won 17 of the last 18 games against Italian teams, and I think that they should have far too much attacking weaponry for AC Milan.
Milt, who's your selection?
Yeah, I'll go for Feyenoord to beat Salzburg. Feyenoord were 4-0 down at half-time in their opening game against Leverkusen. Bounced back from that with away wins at Girona and Benfica, which that second win was really impressive. And they placed Salzburg, who, you know, looking at their early fixtures, Sparta Prague, Brest, Dynamo Zagreb, looked like a decent start. They've lost those games by an aggregate of 9-0, so I don't fancy their chances in Rotterdam.
And I'm going to pick Shakhtar Donetsk at even money to beat Young Boys. Lost 1 of the last 6 in all competitions, Shakhtar. They had that narrow 1-0 defeat, of course, at Arsenal last time out. They're going to draw at Bologna early on in this league phase as well. Young Boys have so far lost all 3 games, not scored a goal yet. They were, in fairness, against decent opposition. But in the league even as well, they've drawn 1 and lost 1 of the last 3. So certainly some concerns for Young Boys going into this. And I think Shakhtar's experience in this competition could prove key. So just to remind you, the assist treble, Real Madrid, Feyenoord and Shakhtar Donetsk. And we'll wrap up this week's Champions League special with the naps. Mark, what's your nap first?
PSV, shade of odds on at home to Girona. Girona lost a lot of their best players in the summer. Not as good as the team that actually qualified for the Champions League. They lost at home to Feyenoord. And that's a good kind of, I suppose, line, really, in terms of form guide, because PSV have shown that they're superior to Feyenoord. And I don't want to take that too literally, but I think it gives us a good toe in to kind of what this game is going to be like. I actually watched PSV against Sporting earlier on in the Champions League campaign, finished in a draw, but PSV were miles the better team. XG backed that up as well, 2.6 to 1.3. So I think if they play like that, they should land the odds against Girona.
And Milts, what's your nap for this week?
Yeah, I'm going under 3.5 goals in Stuttgart against Atalanta. Both teams in great form. I think a low-scoring draw would be a pretty decent result for both, actually. I mean, Atalanta have already had 0-0 draws with Arsenal and Celtic. They beat Shakhtar 3-0 in between those stalemates. And Stuttgart drew 0-0 at Leverkusen last time out. Only had 4 shots in the whole game there, but had to dig in for a point. So I don't think this is going to be the goal fest that maybe the prices suggest. And around kind of 4-6, 8-11, under 3.5 goals looks a decent price.
Yeah, Stuttgart against Atalanta looks one of the standout games of game week 4 in the Champions League. And that just about wraps up this latest edition of The Assist. Thanks to both Mark and James for their efforts. Don't forget, of course, to like, subscribe and comment. And if you like your golf, well, make sure you watch The Sweet Spot, of course, with Steve Palmer every Tuesday. We'll be back with The Assist on Thursday, looking ahead to the Premier League and EFL action. But until then, enjoy your European football over the course of the week. And please remember to gamble responsibly.